Now, in the fourth church age, now where we just read today, the Thyatiran church age. Now, there is this woman. That woman, Jezebel. From all I'm saying, you can understand me now as we flow on. That it is not the Jezebel of Ahab. It's us using it for you to understand that the same way, remember that we are Israel spiritual. There is the Israel natural under the law, and in grace, we are the spiritual Israel. The same way Satan attacked Israel, is the same way Israel in the wilderness, the same way he's attacking the church also. And then one way that made Israel to go completely idolatrous was the marriage of Ahab to Jezebel. And that brought complete idolatry to Israel. And the same setting was in this same age. That something happened that brought complete idolatry. Corruption totally. As we see in that parable. Let's read it again. Of Matthew 13. Verse 33. He said, another parable spake he unto them. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took. And that woman is that false church. It is that Roman church that was married, totally married in Pergamos. Totally married to idolatry. Totally married to the state, totally married to the world, totally married to paganism. That woman, it's like unto leaven. Leaven is false doctrine. Took leaven, which a woman took, and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole meal was leavened, corrupted. It is in this age that salvation was totally, Christianity, Christian faith was totally misplaced and corrupted. It is in Thyatira church age. That is the age that Satan completely succeeded and took over. Totally. And that happened by a process, by a spirit, by a style he used. None. You know, the church is referred to as a woman. That's why he referred to that church at that time as Jezebel. That married to Ahab, the church. And with false doctrine. And if you will allow me, I will have to read some comments that William Branham spoke in the exposition of the 7 church ages. I will read, so that you know where I got my information from, some of my information. This is it. It took time, so there's no need I use my word. It's very, very clear here. And I'm reading from page 213 of the exposition of the 7 church ages, preached by William Branham. And here is describing the history of that city called Thyatira. So that you will know why it is applied to this fourth church age. Historically, the city of Thyatira was the least noteworthy of all the 7 cities of the Revelation. It was situated on the confines of Mysia and Ionia. It was surrounded by many rivers, but they were full of leeches. Its most commendable feature was that it was well off financially, due to the corporate guise of potters, tanners, weavers, dyers, rope makers, etc. It was from this city that Lydia, the seller of purple, came. She was Paul's first European convert. Now, the reason that the Spirit chose this city as the one already containing the spiritual elements for the fourth age was because of its religion. The major religion of Thyatira was the worship of Apollo Tarimnaos. which was joined with the emperor worship cult. Apollo was the sun god in that city, and the next in power to his father Zeus. He was known as the avatar of evil. He presided over religious law and expansions, the means of atonement, making amends for wrongdoing or guilt. Plato said of him, quote, "He explains to men the institution of temples, sacrifices, and services to deities, besides rites connected with death and afterlife." Unquote. That's what Plato was saying. He communicated his knowledge, that God that they were worshipping in that place, communicated his knowledge of the future and his father's will to men through the prophets and oracles. In Thyatira, this ritual was conducted by a prophetess who sat on a tripod chair and delivered the messages while entranced. The hold of this religion was remarkable. Its formidable power did not lie exclusively in the realm of mystery, but lay in the fact no one could belong to the gods which offered the people their living unless they belonged to the temple worship of Apollo. Anyone who refused to join in idolatrous feasts and licentious orgies was barred from these first century unions. In order to be a part of the social and commercial life, one had to be a practicing pagan idolater. That was the condition of that city, that pagan city. And that is where the church was located. And remember that the message was not just for that city. It is speaking of the fourth church age. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, let's see how Jezebel came to Israel. Let me read it again. From page 226. This is the way William Branham put it. That woman Jezebel. William Branham says, the Apostle James showed us, the course that sin takes. James 1, 14 to 15 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now that is a picture of exactly what is happening in the church ages. As sin started in nothing but a feeling, so the death to the church started with the simple little notice deeds of the Nicolaitans, the mustard seed. From the deeds, it went to a doctrine. From the doctrine, it embraced the power of the state and the introduction of paganism. Now in this age, it goes to its own prophet as a teacher, and so it travels on until it will find itself in the lake of fire, for that is exactly where it is going to end up, in the second death. Now the whole cry of God against this fourth age is found in his denunciation of this prophetess Jezebel. And to understand exactly why he denounces her so, we will have to look up her history in the Bible, and when we find what she did back there, we will know what is going on at this time. The first and very important thing that we learn about Jezebel is that she is not a daughter of Abraham. Nor is her induction into the tribes of Israel one of spiritual admission, as was that of Ruth, the Moabites. No, sir. This woman was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Sidon. We find that in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 31. Who was the priest unto Ashtoreth? He had gained the throne by murdering his predecessor, Phinehas. So we see right away that she was the daughter of a murderer. This certainly reminds us of Cain. And the way she became a part of Israel was not through the spiritual channels that God has ordained for Gentile admission, but she came in by marriage to Ahab, the king of the 10 tribes of Israel. Now this union, as we have seen, was not spiritual. It was political. And so this woman, who was steeped in idolatry did not have the least desire to become a worshiper of the one true God, but rather she came with the avowed intentions of turning Israel away from the Lord. Now Israel, the 10 tribes, had already known what it was to worship the golden calves, but as yet they were not sold out to idolatry. For God was worshipped and the law of Moses was acknowledged. But from the time of Ahab's marriage to Jezebel, idolatry progressed in a deadly fashion. It was when this woman became a priestess in the temples that she erected to Ashtaroth, Venus, and Baal, the sun god, that Israel came to the crisis point of her life. With this in mind, we can now begin to see what the Spirit of God is setting forth in this Thyatiran age. Here it is. Ahab married Jezebel, and he did it as a political maneuver to strengthen his kingdom and secure it. That is exactly what the church did when it married under Constantine. They both got together for political reasons, though they put a spiritual heir to it. Now, no one can convince me that Constantine was a Christian. He was a pagan with what looked like Christian trappings. He painted white crosses on the shoulders of shields. He was the originator of the Knights of Columbus. He put a cross on the steeple of St. Sophia's, thereby starting a tradition. With tradition, you see those archbishop and bishop, there's one stick they hold like that. On top of it, there is a cross. That type of cross that is put there, it started back then. It was Constantine that introduced a group of people to defend the faith known as the Knight of St. Columbus. It was a cult. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. It was Constantine's idea to get everyone together. The pagans, nominal Christians, and true Christians. And for a while, it looked as if he would succeed. For the real believers came along to see if they could bring back the ones that had drifted away from the world. When they saw that they couldn't bring them back into truth, they were forced to break away from the body political. Then, when they did, they were called heretics and persecuted. Let me say right here that we have the very same thing going on right now. The people are all coming together. They are writing a Bible that will suit everyone, whether it be a Jew, Catholic, or Protestant. They have their own Nicene Council, but they call it the Communical Council. And do you know whom all these organizations fight? They fight the true Pentecostals. I don't mean the organization called Pentecostal. I mean the ones who are Pentecostal because they are filled with the Holy Ghost and have the signs and gifts in their midst because they walk in truth. When Ahab married Jezebel for political reasons, he sold his birthright. You join up with an organization and you sell your birthright, brother, whether you want to believe it or not. Every Protestant group that ever came out of the Catholic system, and they went back, sold their birthright. And when you sell your birthright, you are just like Esau. It is in going back that we have Christian Association of every nation. We are one. Sele, Olumba, all of you. Synagogue, Pentecostal, Baptist, all of us. Juicy, we are one. Why are you fighting? We are one. Is that not the prayer of Christ? That they might be one. John 17. Does that not say so? That they might be one. Hey! It was started, it's a spirit. It's the same spirit that started at that time that is disguising in another shape. And when you join them, he said, you are just like Esau. You can cry and repent all you want, but it won't do you any good. There is only one thing you can do, and that is, come out of her, my people, and stop partaking of her sins. Now, if you don't think I am right, just answer this one question. Can any man living tell me what church or what move of God ever had a revival and came back after she went into organization and became a denomination? He said, read your histories. You can't find one, not even one. It was a midnight hour for Israel when she joined with the world, and left the spiritual for the political. It was a midnight hour at Nassim when the church did the same thing. It is a midnight hour now that the churches are coming together. Now, when Ahab married Jezebel, you know, somebody will fight me now. We are trying to establish unity in Christianity. Pastor Alu is trying to scatter us. If you are thinking like that, unity is not in association. If this Bible does not unite us, no association can unite us. I am preaching unity. But the unity I am preaching is the unity of the bride with the world. We are to be united with the world. If me and you cannot stand together in scripture, whatever organization else brings us together, it is another Constantine at Nicaea. Listen to me. I am not scattering Christianity. I am uniting us. Come back to where we got scattered from. We left the Bible. Until we come back to the Bible, we will remain scattered. If you say we are united, okay, all of you choose one name now and bear that name. Let all of you stop bearing Baptist. Redeem. Who again? Choosing. And all the rest. All of you come now and be a Roman Catholic. Then we know you are united. Why are you claiming unity? And you are all holding on to what you believe. So what is it that unites you? You know you are deceiving yourselves. Now I continue reading. Where will Abraham continue? Can I continue? 2 minutes more. Now, when Ahab married Jezebel, see, when I'm telling this story, when I'm reading this, look at the condition of the church and see where the church is married to, so that you understand who this Jezebel is. Now, when Ahab, a true Jew, a type of a true Christian, a true church in the first church age, married Jezebel, he allowed her to take the state money and erect two huge houses of worship of Ashtar and Baal. Until today, governments give pastors money to build their churches. Churches that government recognize. They give them money. In the last presidential election campaign, some of the money that was meant to fight Boko Haram was sent to churches for prayer. Why did they not send it to all the churches? They sent it to only the churches that were married to the political group. They are the ones that are recognized by Azorok. This is not the first I said spirit. It started back in the days of Constantine. They cannot call me and give me money to build church. Oh. Hallelujah. I don't know how many of you have heard of Billy Akoni. It's one firebrand preacher. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But he preaches sound doctrine, but he avoids attacking any particular group so that he can be accepted. That is the only fault I find in him, if he is hearing me now. Listen, but you listen to that man, he's saying some things. It's against commercialization of the gospel, and he doesn't mix it. And that man is highly respected. And some of his disciples is somewhere in Benue, Boko. And he doesn't have a church. He doesn't have a ministry. But they have conventions that thousands of people from around the world come once every year. And he cuts across all denominations. And I was told how that one of his disciples became the governor of one of the states. And so naturally my father in the Lord, on the day of his inauguration, he called him to come and inaugurate him. And he told him, hallelujah, that you have received the mandate of the people to rule them. He said it openly, before everybody hearing, and told them, I will not say anything now. 2 years from now, I will come back and you will take me around the state and show me what you did with the mandate that God gave you. And he told him, this is my prayer for you. God is the one that giveth power. He told the governor that if you misuse the people's money and get corrupt and enrich yourself, the God that put you here will pull you out. That was his prayer on the day of inauguration of a governor. We were not surprised, therefore, when just about 2 years into that governor something happened to that man that rendered him incapable of ruling the state until it was over. I understand that he was sent for when it happened to that man. His message was clear. Praise the Lord. Nobody will come to him and give him money for anything. And he taught his disciples never to collect money from anybody for anything, that they will live by faith so that they can preach the gospel. Such a person, will any head of state send for him? Thank you. That's what I want you to note. So I don't think I am the only one. We are many. You know only me. I know some people. God had 7,000 when Elisha thought he was the only one. I'm not the only one saying this. But I have a platform that others may not have. But I'm telling you, there are people that are screaming against the nonsense that is going on with this precious salvation that we have. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I read on? Hallelujah. Now, when Ahab married Jezebel, he allowed her to take the state money and erect 2 houses of worship of Ashtaroth and Baal. The one that was erected for Baal was big enough for all Israel to come and worship thereat. And when Constantine and the church married, he gave the church buildings and set up altars and images and organized the hierarchy that had already been shaping up. When Jezebel got the power of the state behind her, she forced her religion on the people and killed the prophets and priests of God. It got so bad that Elijah, the messenger to his day, thought he was the only one left. And God had 7,000 more that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. And right now, out there among those denominations of Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, and so on, there are some that will come out and go back to God. I want you to know, I am not now and never have been against the people. It is the denomination, the system of organization that I am against. I have to be against it, for God hates it. Now just let us stop a minute here and rehearse what we have brought out about the worship in Thyatira. I said that the worship Apollo, who was the sun god, along with the emperor. Now this Apollo was called the avatar of evil. He turned evil away from people. He blessed them and was a real god to them. He was supposed to teach the people. He explained about worship and temple rites, services to God, about sacrifices and death and life after death. The way he did this was through a prophetess who sat entranced upon a tripod chair. My, do you see it? Here is that prophetess called Jezebel. And she's teaching the people. And her teaching is seducing the servants of God and causing them to commit fornication. Now, fornication means idol worship. That is what is spiritual. That is what the spiritual meaning is. It is an illegal union. Ahab's union and Constantine's union were both illegal. Both committed spiritual fornication. Every fornicator will wind up in the lake of fire. God says so. Now then, the teaching of the Catholic Church, the church is a female, is a woman, that teaching denies the word of God. The Pope, who is literally Apollo in a modern version, has taught the people to join themselves to idols. The Roman Church has now become a false prophetess to the people because she has taken away the word of the Lord from the people and given her own ideas as to what constitutes forgiveness of sins, what brings the blessings of God, and the priests have gone so far as to state categorically that they have power not only in life but in death. They teach on their own that there is a purgatory, but you can't find that in the world. They teach that prayers and masses and money will get you out of purgatory and into heaven. The whole system that is based upon his teaching is false. It does not lie on the sure foundation of the revelation of God in his word, but lies on the shifting, sinking sands of his own diabolical untruth. The church went right from organization to denomination and hence to false teaching. That's right. The Roman Catholics don't believe that God is in his word. No, sir. If they did, they will have to repent and back up. But they say God is in his church. That will make the Bible the history of the Catholic Church. That isn't so. Look what they did to water baptism alone. They took it away from being Christian baptism and made it a pagan one of titles. Let me tell you about an experience I had with a Catholic priest. A girl that I had baptized at one time turned Catholic. So the priest wanted to interview me about her. He asked what kind of baptism she had. I told him I baptized her in Christian baptism, which is the only kind there was to my knowledge. I had buried her in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The priest remarked to me that at one time, the Catholic Church did that. For I have read their histories and I could not find what he said. He told me that it was found in the Bible and that Jesus had organized the Catholic Church. I asked him if he thought Peter was really the first pope. He emphatically said that Peter was. I asked him if the masses were said in Latin in order to ensure that they were correct and would never change. He said that was true. I told him that I thought they had wandered a long way from what they had in the beginning. I let him know that if the Catholic Church really believed the book of Acts, then I was an old-fashioned Catholic. He told me that the Bible was the record of the Catholic Church and that God was in the church. I disagreed with him, for God is in his word. Let God be true that every man a liar. If you take away or add to that book, God has promised that he will add plagues to those who add and take away their part from the book of life if they dare to subtract from it. Revelation 22 verse 18 to 19 says so. Let me just show how the Roman Catholic Church believers that God is in the church instead of the word. Here is an excerpt from the diary of a Pope, John the 23rd. Quote, "My experience during these 3 years as Pope, since in fear and trembling, I accepted this service in pure obedience to the Lord's will, conveyed to me through the Sacred College of Cardinals in Conclave, bears witness to this maxim, and it's a moving and lasting reason for me to be true to it. Absolute trust in God, in all that concerns the present, and perfect tranquility as regards the future." Unquote. This Pope states that God spoke through the church, revealing his will. How false! God is in his word and speaks by the word, revealing his will. He also stated that he placed absolute trust in the word of men and thereby obeyed it with tranquility. It sounds so beautiful, but it is so false, just like the perversion in the Garden of Eden. Now, let us get over here in Revelation 17 and see this woman, the church, who is living on false prophecies and not the word of God. In verse 1, God calls her the great whore. Why is she a whore? Because she is in idolatry. She has caught the people up into the same thing. What is the cure for idolatry? The word of God. It's the word of God that is the cure. So this woman is a whore because she has left the world. There she is, sitting upon many waters, which means multitudes of people. This surely has to be the false church, because the church of God is small. Few there be that find it. Notice the last paragraph now. Notice what she is like in the eyes of God. No matter how wonderful she looks to people and how philosophical she sounds, she is filthy drunk on her fornications. Now, she was drunk with the blood of the martyrs, just like Jezebel, who killed the prophets and priests and destroyed the people of God who would not bow down and worship Baal. And that is exactly what the Catholic Church did. They killed those that would not bow down to the popish rule. Those who wanted the word of God instead of the words of men were put to death, usually by cruel methods. But this church that dealt in death was dead herself and didn't know it. There was no life in her, and no signs ever followed her. Unquote. Thank you. That was William Branham. And I agree with him. I agree. That's why I'm reading it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So in conclusion, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And who is that woman, Jezebel? And what is she? That woman, Jezebel, is a church. And it is a Roman church. With her doctrines that have swept across the Christian world, making them to be worshipping Satan, thinking they are worshipping God, as it was in the days of Ahab. So has the church, the true church, married the false church, married paganism, and this is the product of what you see in Christianity today. And before you know what, when a living church, hallelujah, when you come out like that, with fire, God calls a man, gives him a ministry, and he says, you need to stay true to him who called him. He begins, after the revival goes on and on and on and on, he will go and join himself to this denominational horse. What happens to that ministry? That revival dies. And that's exactly what you see. Ahab got married to Jezebel. And Jezebel had daughters. 2 Kings chapter 8. So that you just see what I'm talking there. 2 Kings chapter 8. Verse 18. Okay, let me read from verse 16 so I will just get the picture. And in the fifth year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat being then king of Judah, Joram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, began to reign. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, as did the house of Ahab. This is the reason. For the daughter of Ahab was his wife. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Another one again in verse 26. That's 2 Kings chapter 8. From verse 25. Another king again. Ahaziah. In the 12th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, did Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, the Jehoram again, king of Judah, began to reign. 22 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was who? Athaliah, the daughter of Omri, king of Israel. And he walked in the way of the house of Ahab, and did evil in the sight of the Lord, and did the house of Ahab, for he, Ahaziah, was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. What I catch here is an agenda of Satan. As soon as you take off and you have a light to bear, assignment will start on you. What is the assignment? The assignment is aimed at killing that light to make you, Ahab, marry Jezebel so that they will have recognition. The church, they come together for recognition. I know a church at Ikotu that stood kakaraka for holiness. You can't paint your face, sister, in those days when that church started. I entered that church. There are women, we came in Kaladi Gate, that will soak cotton wool and give you to clean your mouth. Clean your nail before you enter. You can't wear trousers, sister. I entered that church. They had scarf at the gate. If you are coming with your hair covered, they will borrow you scarf to wear. And the women there, they had bad mouth. They will be talking bad mouth like our own for our gate here. They will tell you, how can you dress like that? You know where you are coming? But suddenly, it looked as if his revelation changed. His revelation didn't change. He needed a worldwide acceptance. So that everywhere they will give him money will come from everywhere. Ideas began to come so that he can be modern. He is too ancient. God told me my ministry will be international. Now you are now giving limitation. Just let everybody come. Then he redesigned his choir, rearranged them. And then they are what they are today. Praise God. There was a time that Coca-Cola and Pepsi, they were in a war of commercial recognition. So suddenly, Pepsi brought and said a new formula. A new formula. They were advertising a new formula. So attract people. Then their closest competitor, Coca-Cola, they came. They say a good formula need not change. Pepsi removed that advert immediately. Because they know what that means. Praise God. Hallelujah. Truth has no second version. Has no second version. The light can only shine brighter and brighter and brighter. In this church, when we started, women were coming with earring. We said, don't worry. Let them come, they will hear, and they will change. They will paint themselves. Don't worry. God will change them. Before we know it, instead of changing, they were increasing. We said, which can't be this? We didn't say, no, see, let's relax it, pastor, minister, take it easy. Hallelujah. Now, a man, somebody came to complain in your group. One sister was complaining. He said, when they come for their group prayer meeting, our evangelist, a man, we say, all the sisters, open your hair. If you palm your hair, he will walk you out. Get out. We don't believe in that here. Don't come and pollute us. Then the sister was protesting. Then she sent message to me. Pastor, you see what a man is doing in his group. And then they are reducing the number of people coming. At least they shall allow everybody to come. Let God deal with them. Let God deal with them. Let God deal with them. Where will God deal with you? Go. When God finish dealing with you, then you can come. Praise God. Listen, church. And so, when they thought that we shall relax it, which kind of church be this? We say, hey, if you wear your ring, no enter here. You see the opposite now. Another person said, no, you can wear your earring. Then another one again is saying, lie, you should remove it. What is this man saying? I'm preaching what you don't like, but what God likes. What God wants you to hear, somebody. Praise the Lord. Why I have problem with Pastor Moses, my only problem is always calling name. Why should I not call name? If I don't call them, how will you know who I'm talking about? Why should I leave you in confusion? I don't want to leave you in confusion, so I'm calling them. Is there no name in the Bible? Demas not the Bible. Alexander, was he not called? Judas, was he not called? Jesus, was he not called? Peter, was he not called? James, was he not called? Matthew, not be. Why should we not call names now? Praise the Lord. And so, before you know what, they saw this truth in this ministry and they left. When the fire was on, there were fire here. And they married the denominational daughters of Ahab. Daughters of Jezebel. And now, what happened now? Now one of them is now crowned a bishop by a senior bishop. Under a serious ceremony. Now he dresses with that same cross that Constantine introduced to the Knight of Columbus. Somebody who saw this light. Hey! Moses Alu. He who did he stand. Take it, lest he fall. And I received a letter from the Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria some years back. Inviting me for a meeting with long, long grammar and appreciating the great work I am doing. And I wrote a letter to them. I said, before you invite somebody, don't you look at why he stands for before you invite him. I'm not part of you. That was in Mapoluku years back. Every year, they have stopped now for the past 2 years. I've not seen those letters. Every year, one organization or the other, they are writing me a letter to give me honorary doctorate degree. Deacon Eric is always the one replying on my behalf. Is Eric here? I said, help me reply them. Thank you for recognizing the great work I am doing. But I'm satisfied with what I have now. Thank you very much. It is them trying to come in, small church. Watch and pray. Hallelujah. He said the spirit will be so close that if it were possible, they deceive the very elect. Then the next thing they are starting now is they are coming. Brother Alu, you have such a great ministry. Where do you place yourself in the scripture? You had that question on Friday night. It's not the first. I said, Alu, you are an apostle, even not ordinary apostle. Oh, Pastor Alu, there is nobody that is holding this message the way you are holding now. Ah, Pastor Moses, if not for you, we will have been that way. We have been looking, we have been telling God to raise us somebody. Pastor Alu, we thank God that he has raised you for us. Then, if I be one of them, now I'm going to do like this. I told you, I'm not an ordinary, and then one minister, let me spare you, I will not call your name, but don't try it again next time. And then he came to my house, sir, you know you are not an ordinary man. Sir, you know you are not an ordinary, I say, what am I? Hey, you are not ordinary, you are not ordinary. The minister, they sit down there and they hear me. Look, don't try it again, no. Don't try that again, no. You see, now, I'm respecting you because you're my in-law. That's why I don't call your name. That's why I didn't call your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am watching seriously that spirit wherever you come from. Kick it away. Kick it away. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is how they, you will not get me, because they did not get Elijah. They cannot get me too. There are God's elect that you can never get them. I am one of them. I am one of them, oh. I am one of them. Can't get me. Can't get me. There's a revival that is going on now. Satan can't stop it. Satan cannot, can never stop it. Praise the Lord. And he said he gave him a space to repent. What did he specifically say? He gave them a space to repent. Because that's the longest age. He allowed them up to 1,000 years to see whether they will repent. But they did not repent. What did he say he will do to them? In chapter 2, verse 22 and verse 23, he will give them over to a great tribulation. I'm telling you, there is trouble awaiting everyone that has brought in idolatry to Christianity. That is what the message to that age says. Exactly what you see, the judgment of the great whore in Revelation chapter 18, the whole chapter from verse 1. Exactly, it is awaiting them and all that follow such things. Praise the Lord. And for those of us who refuse to bow, he said he will give us the morning star. We will shine. As the morning star, we will shine. They don't know us now, but when the time comes, they will know us. We will shine with him in the, hallelujah, in the millennium. And so, this is the age that was known as the Dark Ages. Where completely the word of God was corrupted. No more light. Anything that rose up was killed. And the Antichrist, Satan, sat down. And that is when he achieved that worship he desired. That made them to throw him away from heaven. He desired it and he got it. Through that agenda, that saw him to be where he is today. And we all know that through whom is propagating that is the head of the church. And that is where he will finally come and manifest as the true Antichrist. And then they will know that what we are saying now is the truth. It is towards the end of this dark age that the next parable was ignited that brought in Luther. And brought in the Sardesian church age. It is in that dark age a light sprang up to pull out of that system. Next time we will go to the next church age. God bless you. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Blessing acts the wonderful
that your own glass
that shall
own glass
and set me free. Oh, silently now I will
ready my God,
ready my God.
Open my eyes,
open my eyes.
Illumine me, Spirit divine.
Silently now,
silently now,
I wait
for thee, ready, my God, that we to see. Open my eyes,
that's our prayer. That's our prayer. Say it again. Silently now. Silently now.
Now wait for thee. Go ready, my God.
Ready, my God.
Open my eyes. Spirit divine.
Oh yes. We just want to pray. When you listen to such teaching, then you understand why Apostle Paul said, he who thinks he stands should take heed lest he falls. Somehow I understand now why God waited. This ministry I am into, he revealed it to me in 1973 When I was just about some 14 years old or so, 13, 14 years, and he waited until I reached my old age first. He allowed me to see all the vanities of life so that nothing will be able to entice me when I catch the truth. And I thank God for that. But the advantage that I have, many of you may not have it. But I'm telling you that what we are holding on to is not empty fables. The truth that God has allowed us by His mercy to see is what is needed for now in this apostate Christianity. So that you will not just be a religious person and put the tag of a church upon you, I am bride, but that you will truly be a Christian. Every time checking yourself to make sure nothing swings you out of the perfect will of God. So that nothing, no frustration will make you sell your birthright like Esau. So that nothing will make you compromise your faith under any reason. And you will hold on to this truth under any condition. There's nothing else here that will be compared to what awaits the overcomers. They don't know us now, but He promised us that we shall be even the morning star. We will shine at the appropriate time. It's impatience that makes us do what a lot of us do to compromise our faith. There's a reward for the overcomers. And what we have to overcome now is much, much more. 7 times more than the first church age. So that you know the battle of faith that we are in is a serious battle. As many of you that have decided to go to this heaven, let us go. Join me and let us go. Let's stand and fight that battle. While we want to pray, Lord, give me grace to follow. Open your mouth and talk to God. Give me grace. I need your grace in this age. The battle is tough. The battle is hard. Oh yes. That's for believers. If a prayer point is not for everybody. I'm talking to those who have decided to go and be with the Lord Jesus. It's not just religion. You are not looking for a church to belong. You are looking for Christ to hold on to Him. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.